So here we go. Pride and humility. I grew up in a home and at a time and in a cultural environment where children, generally speaking, were to be seen and not heard. In other words, we were expected to behave ourselves, to obey our parents without question, and above all, to not exhibit any cheeky behavior. Now, being cheeky included, but was not limited to, talking back to your elders, being a smart aleck, being overly confident about who you were and how you were perceived by those around you, and you were certainly never to show off. There was a certain deference that was expected of children towards any adult, and a certain expectation that as a child you would never, and I repeat, never challenge anything that an adult said. There was also a kind of understanding that compliments should be received with a humble, self-deprecating style, and that it was bad form to be puffed up with your accomplishments. The correct attitude was more along the lines of, oh, it was nothing, anybody could have done it. In sports, it meant that it was imperative that you should demonstrate good sportsmanship, which meant in part that one should not be a bad loser, but accept defeat graciously, and that one should not be a bad winner either, but remember that it's only a game, and that the opposing team deserves respect if they play the game well, even if they lost. Every soccer game that I played in as a kid always ended with the two teams lining up to shake each other's hands, and I don't know if that's still the case. I suspect it might be. For me, all of this was taken very seriously, very much to heart, and I grew up with, I think, could fairly be described as an exaggerated sense of modesty that made it very difficult for me to accept any kind of compliment. I desperately wanted and needed affirmation from those around me, but I wasn't really able to accept a compliment with a simple thank you. Thank you had to be accompanied with some kind of qualifier that would diminish the worth of the thing being complimented, the sort of response that I mentioned earlier. But as I wrote that last sentence in preparing for this meditation, some kind of qualifier that would diminish the worth of the thing being complimented, I think I spotted another Freudian slip. Because the thing being complimented, of course, was not just the accomplishment, whatever that might have been, but me, myself. I was being complimented. I was the thing. And so the qualifier meant that the qualifier that would diminish the worth of the thing being complimented was actually a qualifier that ultimately served to diminish my own sense of self-worth. And I don't want to overstate the impact of that kind of pattern, but in my case, it certainly meant that I grew up with both a deep need to be appreciated and an inability to actually accept appreciation in a healthy way. The flip side of that, of course, was that I also grew up with a deep need to be appreciated and an inability to accept anything that I perceived to be a criticism. Even compliments could be experienced as criticisms if I thought that they were attached to a subtle suggestion that maybe I could have done better. Even any compliment or any comment, rather, that simply questioned why I had done something in a particular way was a threat to my already fragile self-image, and a cause for retreat into a protective shell. Ah, the joys of childhood and adolescence. Anybody else been through that? Balancing all of that out, unfortunately for me, was the fact that I was a reasonably bright kid. I did well at school, was a good soccer player, got lots of affirmation from people that I respected. But I had some very deeply ingrained reflexes that I couldn't shake. And I somehow managed to survive my teen years. And when I was 19, I started on the road to healing, I think, proper healing, when I found a community of people who actually took this book seriously and look to Jesus as a model for their lives. And over the next years, I became more and more drawn to this man who, in the words of Philippians that were just read, this man who Paul says, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I've been on that road to healing, I think, for the last 45 years or so now, and feel like I'm getting closer to the point where I think I'll be able to find a reasonable balance of pride in what I'm capable of and humility. My skin has thickened over the years, and I'm now able to receive criticisms with a level of maturity that I couldn't have mustered 20 or 30 years ago. Mary Lou may question that as to whether that's totally accurate or not, but I think it's fair. And that maturity, if you like, has gone hand in hand with a developing sense of self-assuredness in the things that I feel I do well, along with a willingness to accept that I still have more to learn all the time. I'm now able to accept compliments with an appropriate, I think, level of gratitude for the simple acknowledgement of something well done. So feel free to shower me with any accolades you think are in order from time to time. And I've also learned to laugh at myself a bit over the years and to be self-deprecating in a healthy way that doesn't diminish my sense of self-worth, but that rather allows me to try to keep my pride in check, to give myself permission to poke a little fun at myself, and to remind myself that true humility isn't a false modesty born of a belittled sense of one's true worth, but an ability to accept one's gifts and use them without the need to be constantly patted on the back. This morning before we left the house, as Mary Lou said, she was preparing for the kids' story, looking at the dictionary to see if she could find some inspiration for a definition that would be accessible to a child. So we pulled out our old, I have to read this, I pulled out our old Winston, the new Winston dictionary and reference library. I don't know, it's probably 80 years old. Some of the definitions of some of the words we found over the years, we sort of cringe a little bit at some of the definitions. But as we're looking at this one, I thought, I've got to read this. There is the typical dictionary definition of pride, you know, a few lines, a few words, a few synonyms. Then it goes into a little sermon of its own. So here we are. Where am I? Pride. So it gives you the typical definition: undue self-esteem, conceit, haughtiness, disdain, sense of personal dignity, high and dignified, self-respect, that kind of thing. And then it goes, pride may be a feeling noble, dignified, and admirable. Such pride is that which forbids us to show our hurt, however much we are humiliated, which bids us keep doggedly on when we are about to fall, or otherwise works through our natural self-respect to compel us to be our best. Such pride is the envy of the weak, or it is the possession only of the strong. Unworthy pride is haughty, overbearing, arrogant, hate-producing. Pride in this bad sense is also connected with the idea of strength, for this characteristic makes people overweening, irritable, and apt to be violent in their claims for themselves. Vanity and conceit are cardinal weaknesses. Vanity is felt over trifling things, and the vanity felt over one's fashionable clothes is a much more empty and frivolous feeling than that connoted by the unfavorable sense of pride. Vanity must not only consider itself fine, but must have the open adulation of others. Vanity wilts under disapproval, where sometimes pride would wax so much the fiercer. Conceit is sometimes based on actual achievement or possession, but oftener it is the fruit of excessive self-love. and is boastfully puffed up and lofty over what does not even exist. Frivolous people are vain. Usually youth is conceited. Vainglory is vanity, pompous, strutting, and boastful. Complacency is a calm and composed self-approval, often irritating to others. It then offers some antonyms. And it is one of those topics that, as I said, the lines are a bit blurred between what is an appropriate level of legitimate pride in what one is capable of, and a balanced humility regarding one's worth and the worth of those around us. When I look at Jesus and his style of doing things, I don't think I see a man who flaunts his gifts. With the possible exception of changing water into wine at the wedding at Cana or walking on water, his miracles even are not gratuitous demonstrations of power. They're usually meeting a very direct need, like healing, or feeding, or giving back life. When I look at Jesus, I also think I see a man calmly going about the work that he was sent to do, knowing full well that not everyone would recognize his value, and that seems okay. I see a humble man, but not a man of false modesty, a man capable of much, but not in great need of constant admiration for his abilities, and I aspire to be like that man, and I hope you do too. Thank you.